Thank y'all.
That goes with the message I've got in chapter seven of the book of Esther. Along those lines, we have to do something with the youth as a church. We started on Wednesday night, we talked about it then. I'm not sure, haven't got an understanding yet, but when September, October, when do we change classes? September. I want to start that as a marking date of consistently working on Sunday school. I've got a youth conference planned here pretty soon for the youth all around. And it's been on my heart all my life. In the middle of the message, I believe it is, and I'll talk more about this, but people need a time and an understanding to separate themselves from what's going on in their life that's bad, but it's normal. And the problem in the world today is we have too many things that have become normal. And when we understand when we get in something, it's not normal anymore, it takes us over. It does take an army that God would send. And I want to talk this morning about the power of sin, the power with sin, and the power over sin. You're going to see some surprises this morning in the scriptures. And it's something that we need to focus on in our own lives. Because things are going quick, aren't they? They used to tell me that the older you get, the quicker it'll be. It's getting quicker. Does that mean I'm getting older? I think it is. But before it goes too fast, we have an answer, don't we? And it's the power over sin is what we need to focus on. And I want to ask you, if you would, to bow your heads as we pray. Father, we thank you for the singing, the special song. Thank you, Lord, for your power that we see in the world. Lord, help us this morning to understand through the scriptures that you give us. It doesn't matter how deep that we're in, there comes a opportunity because of your providence to see a way out and to take it. We pray that would happen for anyone here today that's maybe in too far, maybe some that aren't but will be. Lord, this morning we have all your praise, all your glory, all your honor that we have comes before you and to you. And we pray that you would bless our lives deep as it can get in our hearts, to grab a hold of what you have for us and use it in our life as long as we can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Esther chapter 7. I'm not going to do a whole lot of background. We've got a website that's got the sermons on it, and actually got one on time this week. Amen. But anyway, that's another story. So the king and Haman came to banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, "What is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed even to the half of the kingdom." Then Esther the queen answered and said, "If I have found favor in thy sight, excuse me, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me as a petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for a bondman and a bondwoman, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage." Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, "Who is he and where is he that does presume in his heart to do so?" And Esther said, "The adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman." Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make a request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And Harbonah, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who has spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. Read all those verses together for a reason, because I just have 3 points this morning. The time's going to come in everybody's life, no matter how high they go up, like Haman, no matter how much power that they've been given, no matter who you try to ruin as you gain that power, no matter what you've done in any way, if you haven't got it from God, it's going to fail every time. Because there's a power of sin. There's a power that people can have, and they flourish in sin. The more sin there is, the more power they have. And the more power they have, the more the sin spreads and spreads and spreads. It's good. This evil spreads good, doesn't it? Gossip spreads very, very fast and goes very deep. And it's false, it's evil, it's wicked, and it's not even true. But it destroys people's lives. Most important thing I want you to look at is in verse 2 and 3. Notice the king says, what is thy petition? And what is thy request? Then in verse 3, Queen Esther says, if I found favor, O king, in thy sight, if it please the king, let my life be given me as my petition, and my people at my request. Petition and request. Everybody's heard of or signed a petition, haven't they? Somebody's mad, somebody wants to change something, and they don't have any legal authority to do it by themselves. They just can't get a gang of people up and go down to the courthouse and start to complain, even though they do. But what they're told to do is get a petition. Take a legal petition around, and if you get so many signatures, then something can be looked at that wouldn't be any other way. And in this particular case, a petition to the king was for Queen Esther herself. There was already a legal document signed by the king to kill every Jew in every province that was going to happen in just probably 10 or 11 months. Mordecai knew about it. Haman knew about it. Haman was going to be the one that saw it through. And he was going to take all the Jews, and it still is in force as we read. It's still going to happen. It can't be reversed because it's the law. But in this particular case, Esther goes before the king, and she says, I need you to hear my petition. My petition is legally made, that something would be done for me, because my life is fixing to be taken from me. Her request, in both places, was for somebody else. It was for her people. She first wanted to make sure the law could be stopped, it could be changed. Something could be done with the authority that she had by petition. My petition, O king, my legal right, my legal authority, is for you to do something, because my life is fixing to be taken. And my request is, my people also need to be delivered from this power of sin that we're seeing in the kingdom. A better way to look at this, a quicker way, is law and grace. The petition of law and the grace of a request. I think Paul teaches in the Bible, make your petitions known unto God. For me. Not a request for others. I need God's law on my side. I need the one that makes the law, that creates the law, that sees the law through. I need to make my petitions known unto God. And we can know without a doubt, with God's help, that we're the same as Queen Esther. The first thing I want to say this morning is there's always an end that's going to come. Everything has a beginning and everything has an end. All the evil, wicked things that they try to scare us with nowadays, it did happen, but it's gone, isn't it? All the wicked leaders of the past that they compare to today and say they're like them, those folks are dead and gone. There's always an end. There's always an end to every person that acts wicked. It doesn't matter how high he gets, how far he gets. It doesn't matter how much power he has. He's going to have a time in his life when it's going to be all over. The king didn't know all about it either, did he? The king found out bits and pieces as we went through the last several chapters of Esther. The king trusted Haman. The king allowed Haman, by the law, to make a decree that one day in the future we're going to kill and destroy a certain people. He didn't say Jews. He said a certain people. And Esther says in verse 4, to be destroyed, slain, and to perish. We are sold to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. That's the same exact decree in chapter 3. And she's repeating it again with the king and Haman there. Now, Haman knew. Haman knew exactly what she was saying. He knew exactly what she was talking about. King did not know everything. He didn't know the whole story. Until now, it's beginning to be providentially pieced together. Now, he listened to Queen Esther. It was the second time. Second banquet. And now it was time to make an end of this old wicked Haman. The king didn't know the whole story. He just didn't. I hear people say, yeah, he could have, he should have. There's things in our lives, there's friends that I had growing up that I didn't know all about them yet. Some people told me about them. Some people warned me about them. I got mixed in with there and thank the Lord I got out of it. But he just didn't know the whole story. There's a lot of people that are together with people and they don't know the whole story. There's people that go farther than they would have ever went because they had a friend lead them into that. But they really don't know everything about that person. They really haven't stopped to process what's going to happen if they keep on going the way they're going. It's very, very easy in the day that we live in to get real deep, real quick, with no place to go, isn't it? I spent 7 years of my life counseling, drug counseling, with teenagers. And the stories I heard, the examples of how people got into things. And most kids today, by the grace of God, you don't have to worry about it. But there are some people that there's no escape. Because they didn't see it coming. They didn't know what they was doing. They didn't know what was around. And they feel like they're a part of evil. This is important. The king himself was a part of evil. And he didn't even know it. He was the one that made the final decision with Haman to go ahead and put his ring in the wax and make a decree that later on there's a certain people that we don't like, that they don't like us, we don't believe the same, and we're going to kill them. And the king was part of that. He answered that letter. He let it go. But he didn't know it all. He's fixing to know it all. But he didn't know the whole thing, and he was a part of evil. Because in his day and time, it was normal to take the enemy and destroy him. To take those that are lesser and get rid of them. It's in our world today, isn't it? There's people that are judged already. There's people that are already put on a certain level in people's minds. There's no hope, there's no help, because it's normal. Nobody seems to have a problem with it. No one knows why or what reason it could be. But look at the king for just a minute, because he's the one I want to talk about. He was part of evil. He didn't know what he was doing. He just now began to hear about the truth. He heard something from Queen Esther that he needed to listen to. She made it a petition. She made it the law. And then she made a request, and he had to answer. Even if she wasn't queen, if she came before the king with a petition and he'd already given her permission, as king, he would have to make sure he could follow through with it. And immediately the king understood that his queen, his wife, and her people were fixing to be destroyed. They were going to be sold, destroyed, slain, and perished. Annihilated is another word for all those. They were going to be wiped off the face of the earth. And the king couldn't deal with it. He didn't know. He said, who would do this? What kind of wicked, evil man would do this? And Esther said, it's this man right here, Haman. This is what I wish I could get young people to see, and old people too. There is a time and there is a place and there is a way to separate yourself from something that's normal, that's took you over, that you can't see any way out of, that God can do it. And I know He does. I've talked to so many people that God's delivered from some of the things that you could never imagine them ever being delivered from. And the first step was they heard something so awful, so bad, that it affected their heart. It wasn't about them. It didn't have anything to do with anything they were doing. It wasn't offensive at all. It didn't penetrate their heart that they were even involved. And he said, that is awful. Who's the one that's doing that? And then he knew. She pointed him out. There wasn't any problem anymore, because the king began to separate himself away from the evil that he'd done, the things he didn't know, because what was really going on when he found out was really evil even in his eyes. I talk to a lot of people that are a lot far gone, but they still care about someone or something, don't they? That's what's keeping them going, is their love and their care and desire of the bond that God's given them to somebody that is in love with them, or somebody that does love them, somebody that does help them. And the separation has to begin in people's lives. Even as far as off as you are, and even as deep as you got in, you don't know God. If you did, you'd fix it. You don't know how you got into it. If you did, you could backstep and get out of it, but you don't. And it's okay where you're at right now, as bad as it seems, to begin to separate yourself from the evil that you're not. The king himself had an opportunity to separate himself from true evil and normal things that are really bad, that's accepted by a lot of people. But there was a line that he had drawn, that when he found out what was going to go on, he was able to separate his normal wicked behavior to somebody really evil and wicked. There's a lot of people that aren't as bad as they will be or could be if they don't stop. And what's going to happen to them is they're going to separate. You know how they're going to do it. Petition and request. Think about this for just a little bit. Queen Esther was in the right position. She was the queen. And because she was in the right position, she had a legal right to make a petition, because the king would honor it. because she was in the right position. And because she was in the right position and place to ask, the king granted it for her people, her request, her choice. Now, if we're saved, because we're saved, not because of our behavior, not because of where we're at, not because if we call ourselves evil, because you're not evil, Satan is. Drugs and alcohol, they're evil. You're not evil. You need to separate from that. And you separate that because when you're saved, you're in the right position. God's your Savior. God's your King. God's one that because you're saved, because you're in the right position, you can go petition Him. And God will do it. It doesn't matter how good you've been. It doesn't matter how right you are. It doesn't matter anybody knows anything about you. It's because of your position as a child of God. You have a right to make a petition, a legal thing that God has to honor. And you go to God in prayer and He says, what is it that you need? And here's my petition, God, my Savior, my Father. I'm going to die. I went too far. I'm in over my head. And I need you to get me out. When we make that step, we separate ourselves from evil in terms of what's good and who's good. And He hears us, accepts us, takes care of us, doesn't He? Because He loves us. The king and Esther shared the same love. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, our Christian life, our spiritual salvation, way deep down in some of our hearts, because we don't think of ourselves as spiritual, we still have the same love that we share with the Lord. We love Him because He first loved us. And anybody, no matter how far, no matter how long they've been there, God begins to separate them away from that wicked, that evil, because of the petition that they have of who they are. And we've got the same love that Jesus does. He loves me. He loves you. He loves life. He loves good, doesn't He? The king separated himself, and he was able to make a right decision on someone that he might have even been involved with for the worse, for the bad. But it changed for him. I've heard of people saying that they'd go to jury duty and they'd be in the jury, and they just couldn't judge anybody because they're no different. Isn't that sad? If I had to go to jury duty and I had to sit to be a part of somebody's judgment, it wouldn't matter what I did or what I said. It wouldn't matter about any of them there, because this man's the one on trial. And when you separate yourself with God's promise, petition, and power, the power of sin is no more. And you can sit and judge yourself, and you can judge the evil, and you can judge the Lord. And He'll hear your heart, and He'll hear your prayer, won't He? And the power of sin is gone. And even with the sin, there's power. Because the sin's always going to be here. There's always going to be a mark on my reputation. You can go back to Grand Saline, Texas, and there's still some people alive that would tell you what I did when I was 17. Very few left. And I'd be ashamed. But it's okay, because God separated me from that. And in fact, I think it took that to get me right where I am today. And looking back, I probably wouldn't change a thing, because we are rescued, just like they sang. See, the third thing is almost missed in the scriptures. Look at Look at verse 4. This will explain to you why people can't get out of sin. This will be a great understanding that you've never had before of why the world is like it is today. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue. Although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. It takes a dictionary to look at that word countervail and put it together. I've listened to a couple people preach and they missed this part. She said, Esther did, that if we were just going to be held as slaves, we wouldn't have said anything about it. Because it wouldn't be worth the stress and trouble that I would cause the king, because this doesn't countervail. This doesn't add up. This doesn't even come equal the trouble that the king would have to get this right. Some things we can deal with, she's saying. We could have dealt with being slaves, but this isn't slavery. This is annihilation. And this is what's happening in the church today. People don't look at themselves as being annihilated. The things they do, the things they see, the things they're part of, it's normal. It's not that big a deal. It's not worth anybody's time or money to really, really change me because I'm okay. There's all kinds of programs. There's all kinds of things. People are doing what I'm doing and still functioning fine. We talk ourselves into being slaves. Well, I go to church sometimes, and I like to read my Bible, and it's not like I want to be gung-ho or nothing. Don't get me wrong. People will look in their lives physically and spiritually and say just what Esther said. It's just not worth the money. It's not worth the time. It's not worth the stress. Everybody's doing what I'm doing. God's not striking nobody down. I can get by with it. Nobody really cares because we're all doing the same thing. We're all not growing. We're just getting along, going along. Church is good, and this is good, but the world is bad, and we can't change the politics, and on and on and on and on and on. I'm just a slave. I don't deserve much, don't need much, but I'm thankful for what I have. Secure that mentality. Esther said if it was just that, we could deal with it. Churches say if it's just that, we'll be all right. We're going to have a preacher. He's going to come and go. The preachers say, oh, I've been in trouble before. And all the average statistical number is 18 months of every pastor being in the church. And he got all these things and everything. And it's just, let's just get around it. Let's get through it. It's just not worth anybody's time to change, is it? It doesn't matter what we do the next 4 years. It's going to go right back and be again the same, right? Isn't that the mentality? Isn't that the attitude? The right attitude to have is, I'm dying. It is worth it. I do need to come to the king. I do need to use my position. I do need to petition and make it legal for the king to do something. And when the church and when people that have problems get tired of being a slave and getting used to it, and they would cry out to God and say, Lord, I don't want it to be like this anymore, because the power of sin is so powerful. I heard them say yesterday on the news, some of the folks from Texas, some of the politicians, they named an issue and they said, this is a hill that we'll die on. What a little bitty hill. We're going to give everything for this right here. This is our cause. And nobody really cares. If I hadn't heard about it, it wouldn't have bothered me. And what little bit bothered me until I changed the channel. That don't affect me a whole lot. In fact, it's kind of silly to make a mole out of, into a mountain into a molehill. Or a molehill into a mountain. There you go. That's what people do. But what we need to do is realize our position as a church. We need to see people in church. We need to see people saved, don't we? We need to preach the gospel to them every chance we get. And we can and we will, won't we? What needs to happen is we need to understand, because of our position and because of our opportunity and privilege, to petition God for our sakes and request the lives of those around us, that God is going to hear, He is going to answer, He is going to change, He is going to save, He is going to build, He is going to grow. That's what He sent us to do, didn't He? And we're so bad, we talked about it Wednesday night. We do the same thing every year, over and over and over again, and nothing ever changes. We put spiritual words on it, and that doesn't change anything. How many folks, education-wise, have changed since they've been in the first grade? Anybody? Are you on a higher level than... Medically speaking, are we better medically than we was before? Do we know more about how to handle our sicknesses? We did, don't we? Every issue and part of our lives, because it's a matter of life and death, we educate. We learn. We eat better. We learn what's right. We do it in every part of our lives. But in church and spiritual things, well, I don't know if we'll ever see revival. I don't know if it'll ever get any better. Well, we don't have nothing at our church. I hear it. Don't you hear it? And we know why, don't we? Because folks would rather be slaves and be able to deal with it, because we have to. But there needs to be a fire. And there is a fire. There's one that started here. We had a good revival. Had a lot of baptized. Still need to baptize some folks. But that's still going on. And it's time to take what we have and work for the youth. In this church, in this house, where we're in one mind and one accord, just like the Sunday school lesson said. And it's not to be better, it's not to be anything different, because it would be different. But it'd be just exactly what we're supposed to do. And what we have to do is love the same things that the one we're going to pray to does. Just like Esther and just like the king. Esther loved her people and the king loved Esther. And because it was a legal petition, nothing else mattered. And because we have the right position in Christ as a church, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. We don't need to go down this quick. We don't need to slow up already. We need to look at it as a continuation. We're going to get stronger. We're going to do more prayer. And we are, aren't we? More visiting. More fish fries. Someone might say, thank y'all for that. That was good. But you see, the normal way the world is going and the normal way the church is going is we always keep staying just a little bit ahead of them. They get worse, we stay right there with them just a little bit better. Isn't that what it is? God's waiting on us, isn't He? And what's already here is building, isn't it? I'm so glad to be here. I'm glad I get to visit with y'all and pray with y'all and see y'all grow. And I'm just beginning. God's beginning again, isn't He? What we need is to understand what Esther did and wait on the Lord in our lives till by providence He opens it up and we do realize, I'm here for such a time as this. In your life, the church's life, whatever. That's what we need to do. We need to be like Mordecai. Understanding that I'm behind this little girl that I adopted. And I've been an example to her all my life. And I'm so blessed to watch what she can do and the Lord does with her. We'd be like the king. What a good example the king was. As evil as he could have been and as much things he was a part of, he saw a day that he could separate himself and turn back the other way and say, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't understand where we was going. And now that I do not want to do that. Or we could be like Haman. Get it all, have it all, kill everybody, do everything. And even build the place for another man to hang him. And ended up hanging himself on it. A lot of folks like that, isn't there? And we got a choice, don't we? I made my choice. I'm taking my petitions to the Lord. And my requests, I'm going to be made known. And my petition is to be the best that the Lord will let me be. And my request is, Lord, let the church, Dry Creek Baptist Church, grow and grow and stronger and deeper and never give up, never quit, never back up. Because we're the light of the world, aren't we? And we need a light, don't we? If you're here today and you're not saved, it's not because you don't understand. It's because you somehow aren't ready. And God has to make you ready, doesn't he? The Bible says that by the foolishness of preaching, save those that believe. We've done that today. If that's it, the Lord will call you again to be saved. You need to come. You need to be saved. You need to come to the Lord. If you are saved and you've got some hang up, got something wrong, you can get it right, and the quicker you do, the better. To come and be a part of what God's doing here at our church. A church makes a difference, doesn't it? Why can't it be here? It already is here. Just need to let the Lord lead, don't we? Won't you stand this morning and bow your heads and close your eyes?